Good evening and welcome to worship. It is a blessing to be together on this first week of Advent. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Tonight we'll hear a gospel lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, which begins a series of readings throughout Advent from the Gospel of Matthew. And it is a reminder that Christ brought healing and a remedy for humankind's brokenness. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to bless each of us tonight in this service. Take a moment in the silence to invite the Spirit to meet you and your needs, where you need healing, and through this service to bless the world with healing and love amidst all the divisions and confusion.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. Our first reading tonight is taken from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines. Juicy, rich food and pure, choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples. The web that is woven over all nations, he will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." The word of the Lord. Our second reading is taken from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 15. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry for fear they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Seven, they replied, and a few fish. He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, seven baskets full. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus Christ.
Three weeks from today is Christmas, and the Wednesdays, the two more Wednesdays to come before Christmas, we will hear again the Gospel of Matthew. And the scriptures that we heard tonight have a theme about them that connects with the deep comfort and healing that God is extending to humankind. The passage from Isaiah is this beautiful vision of a mountain where all the humanity that is veiled from themselves, veiled from one another, this deep sense of separation and brokenness that we feel, and the tears are wiped away and that veil is removed by the hand of God. It's a beautiful poetic prophecy, a vision of possibility for humankind that occurs on the mountain. Of course, the gospel story also occurs on a mountain, and you can begin to see the parallels between what was promised by Isaiah long before Jesus' birth and Jesus' ministry on the mountain, where he is bringing healing to the lame, the sick, the mute, the blind, and then gives deep satisfaction to the physical hunger. That is a manifestation of the divine grace and healing that comes to humankind from the mountain. Whether or not that scene is fulfilling what Isaiah hoped for or saw remains to be seen. In between is this amazing passage from Psalm 23 that we all know so well and love, and it again sounds this tone of the comfort, the healing, the presence of God that never leaves us, that walks with us even through this valley of the shadow of death, and that brings us satisfaction and living water and comfort and guidance and an eternal presence that never goes away. These are some of the greatest gifts that our spiritual life gives to us. It removes the veils of separation. It reminds us of the truths of union. It feeds us at deep levels of being beyond just the physical dimension of all our physical appetites that are decent and fine in and of themselves, but that will ultimately never satisfy our hunger, and brings the healing that all humans need at every single level, that inner psychological level, that heart level, emotional level, physical level, spiritual level. Now, one of the things I like to remind people of is the word healed, healing in that passage, that Jesus healed the blind, healed the crippled, healed the lame, is the Greek word apuo, where we get the word therapy from. So we tend to think of healing as this miraculous one-time thing where someone's who's blind all of a sudden sees. But the word therapeuo isn't just an instant thing, it's a long-term process. The therapy, and that's why I like to call it the Advent remedy. It is reminding ourselves of the grace of God, reminding ourselves of the truths of God's presence, even when we may not always understand it. And this is a therapy, it's a remedy to us. Truth is a remedy. The presence in the Eucharist is a remedy. Love is a remedy. And it's a long-term healing that most of us experience, little by little. That's not to say that these immediate healings in the presence of God at a higher energetic power don't happen. They do. In our day, we see this happening all over the place. I'll just name two current modern-day representatives of the Christ energy among us. Amma, the healing saint. Amma embraces thousands of people in one weekend, and people weep in her presence, and she has this healing presence, and the veils of separation go away. And people are changed forever just because they've been hugged by a total stranger that they don't even know, but she seems to know them uniquely. The presence of the divine energy from the mountain of God coming down to humankind in our day and age. How about Anthony Williams, otherwise known as the medical medium? This man clearly has a spiritual gift from on high, from the mountain, so to speak. And he is able to see people's conditions and give a remedy, give a therapeuo to them. In fact, even on a bus, he would say, he's overwhelmed, or on a plane, he's overwhelmed because he can't stop from seeing people's inner conditions. It's quite extraordinary. And we could go on about these healers that are among us. So healing continues to this very day. The Christ event continues to this very day. The therapeuo continues to this very day. Another word I love to bring attention to is the word compassion, that the passage is translated tonight that Mary Leah read, that Jesus had pity on them, on the crowds. And the word literally means innards. It's the it's really the Greek word for spleen. It meant the guts, the emotional guts, that Jesus was moved in his guts. In other words, his emotional center was opened by the presence of the human brokenness all around him. His emotional center was opened when he observed the human brokenness, emotional, psychological, spiritual, and physical. His emotional center opened. Now let us ask the question of ourselves. What happens when we see the brokenness of humankind? What happens when we see the division of humankind? Does our emotional center open, or does it close and constrict? In my case, even just looking at the homeless person on the side of the street, my emotional center has become habituated to closing, because my intellectual center justifies the fact that this reason and this reason and this reason, I don't need to give him money. Closed emotional center. And how many other times my emotional center is closed, and rather than feeling compassion in my guts, I feel constriction and anger and frustration and greed or selfishness. So the Advent remedy, the season of Advent, is meant to call us up to the mountains of God. And the mountains of God, just to close with this image, are very significant in the scriptures and always relate similarly to the presence of bread, just to draw us into a remembrance of the truth that the mountain of God, but Moses was receiving the tablets when they were the law of the covenant, when they were wandering in the wilderness, and they cried out because they weren't eating the meat that they were used to from Egypt, and they cried out, and Moses intercedes and prays that God would provide, and manna shows up on the ground, and it's like a bread substance, and they are saved from starving. And then there is the Mount of Olives, underneath which Jesus prayed in the Gethsemane Garden, just after he had instituted the Lord's Supper and said, "Take this bread and break it and do this in remembrance of me." Not to mention the fact that he called himself the bread of life. The mountains represent the place where humankind is elevated and goes to retreat from the noise and busyness of the commerce of day-to-day life. Advent is a mountain. It is a mountain that we can ascend week by week, stage by stage, to receive the therapeuo, the remedy for the veils that separate us and the brokenness that wounds us psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Don't give up on God during Lent or Advent. These are great mountains in which we can experience the presence in ways that we otherwise may not during the regular seasons of the year. These are very sacred, energetic times of the year, that the earth is giving an energy to us. The light is giving an energy to us. The substance that comes from the earth in these seasons is very significant. It's as if these liturgical seasons are mountains that are here to convey truth and wisdom and the bread of life that feeds us in an everlasting way, and the healing that comes to each of us. So may each of us experience an Advent remedy, a healing, in a way that we may not even expect, as we take the Advent way toward Christmas light. And this Advent remedy, this therapeutic that comes week by week as we go deeper into it, is a surrender to the shepherd who leads us and walks with us and never will leave us or forsake us, especially in the darkness. The darkest night of the year, the longest night of the year, is when we need the shepherd the most. And that's not just the physical winter solstice. I'm talking about those spiritual dark nights where the shepherd of our souls is with us, even though we cannot see, feel, touch, sense, or be aware. The truth is, the remedy is right there. And that is the good news for all of us, the good news of Christmas. The gift has been given. Let us believe this truth and be healed. Amen. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. Bring us the healing and the bread of life that we hunger for this Advent. Amen.